Hello, welcome back to another episode. Your sports talk, Taylor here. Not much has happened since the last time we got together in the sports world. Nothing much at all. You know, everybody's still waiting for the Harper Machado signings. I don't think they're going to sign for another couple of weeks, honestly. NFL playoffs, we've already talked about that. Nothing's really changed in that aspect. No major injuries. No major controversies. Everything's still stable, at least as of now. So let's talk about Harper and Machado since we brought that up first, right? I know everybody's tired of hearing about Harper and Machado. This is bad for Major League Baseball. Now, I know some people think it's really good because, one, baseball is now getting talked about in some sort of aspect all the time. You know, everybody's talking about baseball. Everybody's talking about where these great players, these great young players are going to go. And it's pretty sad to see this, that, you know, 10 years ago, if a 26, 25, 27-year-old was on the market, they'd be out by the winter meetings. Albert Pujols, perfect example. Albert Pujols was 32 or 33 years old when he hit free agency. Out by the winter meetings. This isn't happening anymore, and this is a big issue for baseball because, as you saw last year, a lot of players, Jake Arrieta, perfect example. Jake Arrieta was a Cy Young, pitcher for 4 or 5 years in a row. That dude was as dominant, maybe more dominant than Clayton Kershaw was in those years. He was probably the best pitcher in baseball. Think of Cliff Lee and Roy Halladay, how good they were 10 years ago. You know, when they played for, you know, Philadelphia, Cliff Lee played for Texas. That's how good Jake Arrieta was. Now, when Cliff Lee went to free agency, if you remember, and I believe he signed with Philadelphia, he was a top pitcher in the market and signed. Now, that happened this year with Patrick Corbin. Patrick Corbin wasn't playing around. His team wanted him to get off the market, get the highest paid value for it. Now, if Patrick Corbin waited, he's not getting what he got paid from the Nationals. No way. He'll probably top 100, but he's not getting, I believe, the 140 is what he got paid. Harper and Machado are ruining free agency. And this started happening last year. You saw Moustakas, Arrieta. Arrieta didn't sign until, after spring training? Right as spring training was ending? Moustakas had a major year in Kansas City. Any other year, he would have signed probably a 4-year, $80 million, $75 million deal in that range. I mean, he was a third baseman. He's a third baseman. You have to remember, third baseman are very coveted in this game. There's not many good of them. Now, coming up, these prospects are third basemen. And I think that's actually what's hurting Machado, not to break off the third base topic. Let's talk about the third base topic. Is Machado this year is getting paid as a shortstop? And you're going to sit there, well, what difference does that make? Shortstops aren't paid as much as third basemen. If you're going to tell me I have a shortstop that hits 25 to 30 homers, hits 300, whatever. If you're telling me I have a third baseman that hits 330 homers, 100 RBIs every year, it's just the thought process that a third baseman is more coveted than a shortstop. Now, a shortstop is the most important player in the field. Don't get me wrong about that. He's the most important player in the field. He is your captain most times. He runs the infield most times, except for a catcher. But he runs the, if you were to call it the catcher is the general manager of the whole team when they're out there. And the shortstop is the day-to-day manager, you know, that kind of thing. And the thought process is, wow, am I really going to pay $30, $35 million for a shortstop? Take that in. Think about that. Am I going to waste a quarter of my payroll on a shortstop? On a shortstop. Now think about it. Oh, we got to get this player. He's, I mean, amazing. Third baseman. These don't come around. He's a third baseman. Of course we're going to pay him $30, $35, $25 million. Of course. But the teams have the aspect now. If Manny really wants to... Manny did this to himself. Manny Machado will never be Alex Rodriguez. Let's get that out of the way. He was compared to him when he came up. Manny Machado will never be what Alex Rodriguez was his first 10 years. And the contract's going to show that. A-Rod was getting money thrown at him. Thrown at him. Any team you would have wanted to go to. If he would have picked a particular team. If he came out at the end of whatever year he came into free agency. And was like, I want to play for the Chicago Cubs. That's the only team I want to play. The Chicago Cubs would have taken donations from the fans to get Alex Rodriguez on their team. Right? They would have, any team in baseball would have done that. The Colorado Rockies would have scrubbed the snow off the mountains and sold them to Los Angeles so Los Angeles can have snow so they can get a contract for Alex Rodriguez. Manny Machado is not Alex Rodriguez. I'm sorry to say it. Manny Machado is a very good baseball player. He might be a one-in-generational baseball player. He's probably, when he plays shortstop, the best or top three shortstop in the game. I think Francisco Lindor is a very good shortstop. Manny also hurt himself in the playoffs. And I'm not just talking about the lollygagging and all that stuff. But when you lollygag, it's acceptable as a third baseman. Not as a shortstop. As a shortstop, you're hustling 24-7. 24-7 you're hustling around that field. And that's why you see shortstops, they're in the best shape out of probably anybody on the team. Third basemen are a little bit stronger, you know. They might gain a little bit more weight. They're worried about, like, the hot corner. They're worried about the only specific glove moves. They're worried about power. They want to hit the ball. They want to hear the pop. That's Manny Machado. Manny Machado jogs, lollygags, whatever you want to call it. He's a good defender. He's not a great defender. But look at how much better Manny Machado is as a third base defender than a shortstop defender. Manny hurt the money. Manny is not going to clear $300 million. It's not happening. Manny's not going to clear $250 million. Do I think he's going to get the higher than a reported 7-year 175? Yes. Do I think that's the correct offer? Yes. I think, now, if for some reason you were hiding in a cave and you missed the reports. Earlier this week, a report came out that the White Sox reportedly offered Manny Machado an 8-year deal. The reported numbers on the 8-year deal were $250 million in that area. The next day, Buster Olney from ESPN reported that that is not true, and the White Sox have offered Manny Machado a 7-year, $175 million deal, which equivalates to $25 million a year. Manny Machado's agent then backfired on, I believe it was Twitter, and completely ridiculed Buster Olney, saying the reports aren't true, he's trying to hurt my client. Buster Olney has been doing this for a very, very, very long time. The odds are, if he gets information like that, 99.999999 percent of the time it's true. I believe that the offer from the White Sox, the 7-year $175 million, is what they offered him. I believe the agent is trying to cover it up, so that way the remaining teams in on Manny Machado aren't going to lower their offer. See, what happens is the whole world gets perspective of, oh, the White Sox offer 7-year $175 million, right? Let's say, for example, the Phillies are in on him, which they are. Obviously, the teams that are in on him are the Yankees. You can never count out the Yankees, but I don't think the Yankees are really in on him. The Phillies. And the White Sox. Apparently, there's a mystery team. I don't buy the mystery team. I think the mystery team's just there to increase the offers. I think that's what it is. Maybe you see like a Angels team, but the Angels have Pujols' contract and they're going to have to renew Trout's contract. They also have Upton, Simmons. I don't see them adding another big contract. The Dodgers, I don't see them going back to LA. They still have a lot of money on the books. And they probably want Harper over Machado anyways. So, the White Sox, you know, they offered him the contract, right? Now the Phillies are thinking, well, if the White Sox offer $175 million, we're going to rescind our $240, $250 million, if that's what it was. And we're going to offer him $180 million. That's a $70, $80, $90, possibly $100 million loss. And this is what happens when you wait it out. You're hurting yourselves. You're hurting yourselves. That simple. I am pretty sure in the winter meetings, if there was a number talked about, not saying there was a contract offered. I would never say there's a contract offered. A number talked about. You go into the winter meetings. Your agent goes into the meeting. Manny doesn't even have to go into the winter meetings. There is a number talked about. You can't just go into a meeting, let's say with the White Sox, his agent and the White Sox. And his agent is saying $300 million, and the White Sox are saying, yeah, we're going to give him $175 million. There's no way the White Sox are going to jump $125 million. There's no way you're going to jump $125 million back to $175 million. The middle on that is about $230, $225, $230. Are the White Sox going to jump $50 million? Are you going to drop down $50 million? $50 million is a lot of money to drop down to. It's not like we're talking about a 2-year $20 million compared to a 2-year $25 million or a 2-year $30 million. That is $50, $60, $70, $80 million. Million dollars. If this report, which I believe it is true, from the White Sox, Manny Machado ruined the rest of his money career. Ruined it. Ruined it. Because I guarantee you there was an offer beforehand that was higher than $250 million. I guarantee you, whether it was Philadelphia, whether it was the Yankees, whether it was the White Sox beforehand, whoever it was, I guarantee you, it was in the area, not let's ballpark it. I guarantee it was in the area between 240 and 270. That's a big ballpark. We're talking about $30 million. But in that area, there was an offer of an 8, 9, 10-year deal. Possibly more years. But that money was there. And what I've noticed from Manny Machado, not saying he's not about winning. I've never met a player, or I've never known about a player that just was about the and not cared about winning. But he just wants the money. And that concerns me. It really does. Because he doesn't care where he goes. He doesn't care about winning. As long as that $25 million paycheck is there every year, he's just going to play baseball. And that's concerning to a guy that's been hurt a couple times as well. What if Manny Machado gets hurt? Let me ask you that. What if Manny Machado gets hurt this year? Next year? 2 years from now? 5 years into the contract. Is he really going to rush to get back? Before, yeah. You're making $800,000. You're making $10 million, $8 million on arbitration. When you have $25 million coming in that year, when you're making a paycheck after every game of like $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, maybe more, what's the rush? Why am I going to go out? Even when I'm not hurt, why am I going to go out and try to go 4-for-4 when my team's 20 games below 500? What's the point? I mean, yeah, I want my stats to be good, but at the end of the day, I just care about money. Why do I care what my team does? If we're not going to win, I'm not going to try. Not saying that's his overall mindset, which is, you know, wrong for me to do, but if you don't care about winning, you just care about the money, then, you know. Harper, on the other hand, is a different situation. Harper and Machado are two different players. Let's get that right, folks. Manny Machado is a very good player. Bryce Harper is the best player in baseball, except for Mike Trout. Let's not start that debate. Mike Trout is the best baseball player since Ken Griffey Jr. There's no doubt about it. I would say Alex Rodriguez. And I'm not bringing the steroid factor into that, because Alex Rodriguez was a very good young player. Generationally young, good player. But Alex Rodriguez was a good defensive player. Right? God, you know, good. Mike Trout, Ken Griffey Jr. were outstanding defensive players. Outstanding. Mike Trout is an MVP candidate every single year. He missed, I believe it was last year or the year before, he missed like 2 months and was still an MVP candidate. You know, every year he's going to hit you 295 and above. He's going to hit you 30 home runs and above. He's going to hit you 100 RBIs and above. And he's going to probably bring in 100 walks. Easily. It's going to be very interesting. Well, let's get to Mike Trout a little bit. Let's go back to Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is a very, very, very good baseball player. I would be shocked if he went back to Washington. He can't win in Washington. He cannot. Being a Mets fan, watching the Nationals play them 19 times a year, the Nationals are not going to win. They're not. And I know you could say, well, they have Soto now. They have Robles coming up. Trey Turner, Anthony Rendon. They just got Brian Dozier. They upgraded their catchers. Suzuki, Yan Gomes. They have Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin. They're not going to win, folks. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. You know why? Is when teams like this are around each other too much, too long. It phases out. The Nationals' window to win was about 4 to 5 years ago when they were making the playoffs. When they were making the playoffs, Dusty Baker, Matt Williams were the managers. You know, they were 95, 97 win teams. They were blowing everybody out. Jason Wirth, Jordan Zimmermann, Gio Gonzalez. Those were the opportunities for them to win. Not now. Not now. Soto had a very good year last year. Juan Soto, the left fielder for the Nationals. Very good rookie year. Very good. And he's only 19. Very good rookie year. Probably a better rookie year than Bryce Harper actually had. They still have Adam Eaton. Very good player. But I'm telling you, they're not going to win. It's the same team as last year. Same team. Soto will probably hit 30 home runs this year. Maybe a little bit more. Matt Adams, their first baseman, what do you expect him to do? You're hoping if he get 20. You're hoping if he get 280. Not the best defender. Brian Dozier's on the downside of his career. Trey Turner gets hurt. He's very injury prone. He starts off very good every year, but then he falls by the All-Star break. Anthony Rendon is a possible hit or miss. Yan Gomes behind the plate isn't really anything special. Kurt Suzuki's older. Scherzer's getting older. Can he still strike out 300? I know he did that last year, but is he going to pitch to a 2.3, 2.4 ERA? Strasburg is the biggest question mark. He looks good when he's on the mound. Next moment he's hurt. Comes back, he's throwing a 5 ERA. Gets hurt again. Comes back, starts throwing a 2 ERA. He's very up and down. Corbin got paid a lot of money. I don't think Corbin is worth $140 million. He's probably going to pitch between a 2.7 and a 3.2 ERA. You know, that's what his career says. It's a lot of money, though. Tanner Roark, they traded. I know they signed Sanchez, Anibal Sanchez, if I'm not mistaken. So they really don't. They have the three top guys, and they have decent bottom depth. Their bullpen isn't anything. It's not the greatest. Right? So why would you go back to Washington? Why on earth would you go back to Washington? As a Mets fan, I will love Bryce Harper in a Mets uniform. Love Bryce Harper. I don't know what number he would wear, because Thor's number 34. You know, Noah Syndergaard. I would love to see Bryce Harper. There's concerns if he were to be a Met, you know, because you got an all lefty outfield then. Nimmo and right, Conforto and left, or Nimmo and center, Conforto left, Harper and right. The Mets are very lefty right now. You know, they just, obviously they have Cano, McNeil, mentioned Conforto and Nimmo. So they're very lefty right now. Bryce Harper. Right? The other mentioned teams are Philly. Philly, he's not going to be a Yankee. Not going to happen. I'd be very shocked if he was a Yankee. There's a possibility, I believe, he's going to go to the Dodgers. Obviously, they traded away Puig and Kemp to open up the space. Do the Dodgers really want to shell out that money again? You know, every team talks about, you know, we're going to be under a luxury tax. We're going to be under a luxury tax, right? A player like Bryce Harper comes out. You really want to still be under a luxury tax? The Dodgers have made it to back-to-back World Series, haven't won. Obviously, Manny Machado wasn't the answer. I mean, obviously, not to put everything on him. Steve Pierce had a wonderful World Series. The Red Sox were just dominant. They were the best team in baseball all year. The best team in baseball all year won the World Series. As it sometimes should go. Jock Peterson. Cody Bellinger. Corey Seager. I'm naming lefties, folks. In a baseball lineup, you want to have between two and no more than four lefties. Why? Because most left-handed hitters can't hit lefties. Jock Peterson is a great example of that. Cody Bellinger is a great example of that. These guys just can't hit lefties. Michael Conforto. Ryan Howard wasn't the best against lefties. He was good. Wasn't the greatest. And it's a confidence thing, I believe, because it just, I mean, you got to be able. Righties hit righties. Why can't lefties hit lefties? It's a different angle, I understand, but You got to be able to hit the ball, guys. You want the $25, $30 million contract. Well, I want to put you in the lineup every day and make sure you get two hits against a lefty. Now, I believe Machado is going to be a Philly. The reason why is the Phillies can't leave this offseason without one. Without one of those two. They cannot leave the offseason without one of those two. I believe they're also going to be in on Dallas Keuchel as well. But the reason the Phillies can't leave this offseason without two, right, is before the offseason, about when the offseason started, you know, we have stupid money, right? You heard that comment from the Phillies. We have stupid money. Yeah? Well, you better spend it. You cannot leave this offseason without one of those big name players. Because that fan base, a Philadelphia fan base, will not accept that. Not accept that at all. And it's not fair to Gabe Kapler, who did a wonderful job last year as well. He needs that player. They have a good team. They have a good team to win you 75 to 85 games. They don't have that great team to win you 85 to 95. A player like Machado, a player like Harper would do that. So, yeah, I believe Machado will go to the Phillies because I don't believe the White Sox are going to go over $200 million now. The Phillies will. Harper, on the other hand, Harper, all signs point to him being a Met. And here's why. The first report, he moved into a Long Island apartment, right? That really has nothing to do with it. Maybe he likes New York, this and that. Years ago, last year, 2 years ago, he mentioned he loved the Mets pitching staff. New York, Philadelphia, Boston, LA, Chicago. Are the best sports fans. You can probably include Dallas into that as well. Dallas is pretty good. Are the best sports fans in the world. In the world. Boston does not want Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper wants to be the guy. He was the guy in Washington. He wants to be the guy to bring a World Series. He wants to be that guy. Washington, he's not going to win. We've already went over that. Boston won 4 World Series since 04. The Dodgers haven't won in a while. Houston has won. Texas hasn't won in a while, but he's not going to want to go to Texas. Who wants to go to Texas right now? They're in a debacle. They're moving into a new stadium next year. Maybe that's attractive. But you know you're not going to win this year. And you're probably not going to win next year. Or the year after that. You're probably 3 years into a 10-year contract. You're not even going to be close to winning. Now you're almost 30 years old. You're like, wow, am I ever going to get a championship? He wants a championship. What other better place to win a championship than New York? The comment came out in the beginning of the offseason, he could play first base. Bryce Harper's not playing first base. Bryce Harper is the right fielder every day. Let the Mets do it. If the Mets wanted Bryce Harper, the Mets can get Bryce Harper. It's a very cocky and bold statement, right? But if you think about it, it makes sense. And I just mentioned they're lefty happy, but it's Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper! Who wouldn't want Bryce Harper on the team? Honestly, I'm a Met fan. I hate Bryce Harper. I cannot stand the guy. I couldn't stand him in 7 years at Washington. Hated him. Booed him. Booed him through the TV. I always remember Harvey striking him out a couple years ago. That was the greatest thing on earth. Greatest thing. But you're telling me I'm putting Bryce Harper in my lineup, batting third every time, batting fourth? I'll take that every single time. If I'm the Mets, I go get Bryce Harper. Why wouldn't you go get Bryce Harper? There's no reason on this planet you would not go get Bryce Harper. Yoenis Cespedes isn't coming back until minimum August. August. That's if he comes back. To be honest, he's probably not coming back at all this year. I don't see him coming back. Why would he come back? I hope he comes back. Yoenis Cespedes, when he's on the field healthy, is one of the best players in baseball, especially since he came to New York. He was good in Oakland. He was good in Detroit. He's been great when he's on the field in New York. Great. Amazing. He changed that team in 2015. Changed the team. Played every day. Every single game he played. Made a difference. But let's be real. He's not coming back. And if he does, it's not till after the All-Star break in August. Almost September. You don't want to be 500 trying to catch up to the Braves or the Phillies or the Nationals. When you're down 5 games or in the wild card race. The Mets have a very... Let's put it this way. The Mets have a good roster, right? In recent years, they were struggling to get players. Now, what I mean by players is they had Wilmer Flores. Luis Guillorme they had last year. Whoa. They've had those type of players who are minor league players. Minor league player. Eric Campbell. Who remembers Eric Campbell? Like, these guys are minor league players. These guys aren't good enough to get to the majors. And if they get to the majors, they're bench players. They're bench players. They're bench players for the Miami Marlins who win 45, 50 games a year. Just like the Orioles. Right? Those kind of players. The Mets now have depth, which they've been lacking for a very long time, right? Jed Lowry is a certified great baseball player. Great baseball player. Hits 260, 270, 280, 290, 300, 10 to 25 home runs, 80 to 100 RBIs. Every year. Every year. You can pencil him in anywhere. You can play multiple positions. Mainly second, third, first baseman, but, you know, Rosario, good young shortstop. The Cano factor, you know. Wilson Ramos, Travis Darnell's now a starter. He's the backup catcher. Peter Alonso, this young, up-and-coming power hitter first baseman, might be the opening day roster. Keon Broxton, J.D. Davis, who they've recently acquired. Rajai Davis, Gregor Blanco. I mean, these are guys who, like, they're older, especially Blanco and Davis. But they were starters. They were everyday starters for most of their career. Rajai Davis, he was kind of a role player, but Gregor Blanco was the everyday center fielder for the Giants for the most part at one point of his career. You know? Rajai Davis played key parts in the Indians' postseason runs. He was a Blue Jay, played almost every day. So they now have depth, right? They added bullpen pieces. Edwin Diaz, if he stays healthy, is the best closer in baseball, at least. Familia they got back. The Mets are a scary team. You add Bryce Harper into that. And this is where Mike Trout comes into effect, right? I said we would get back to this. Mike Trout has this year and next year left on his contract. The Angels are going to do everything possible in their power to lock this guy up. Lock him up. Give him whatever. He deserves whatever. He hits free agency, he's not going to be an Angel. He's from New Jersey. I'm sorry, but when was the Yankees? When did they have a great center fielder? What, Bernie Williams? I'm sorry, when did the Mets last have a great center fielder? Carlos Beltran? I'm sorry, when did the Phillies last have a great center fielder? I'm talking about great. I'm not talking about Odubel Herrera. I'm talking about great. I'm sorry, when did the Braves last have a great center field? Andrew Jones? And those are just NL East teams. Mike Trout is going to be the most coveted free agent in history. And he's not going to do this. He's not going to do this. The waiting game. Mike Trout is the LeBron James, the Peyton Manning, the Gretzky, the Brady, the Shaq, the Kobe, the Griffey of baseball. He's the guy. He's the guy in baseball. He doesn't get noticed because he's an LA Angel. Even if he was a Dodger, he wouldn't get noticed that much. Much more. Nor does he want to. He's a good guy. He goes about his work. He shows up every day, gets his training, plays the game, goes home. That's all he really cares about. He's from Jersey. The last name big free agent center fielder turned out to be a Met. That was Carlos Beltran. In recent memory, I don't remember a great center fielder like Carlos Beltran since then. Jacoby Ellsbury got paid. He's no Carlos Beltran, Bernie Williams, whoever you want to call him. Andrew Jones. Carlos Beltran was probably, from recent memory, the last great center fielder that hit the free agent market. There's not many of them. So I hope by the next time we have this podcast, they'll be signed and we could talk about it. Because in about, what, 25 days or so, pitchers and catchers report? In about 40 days, spring training starts? In about 60 days, 70, 65, something around there, 70 days, opening day. These players need to get signed. They're holding up the rest of the, they're holding up one. It's unfair to the rest of the free agents. And I get it. You're going to, this is a very life-changing decision. You're going to be spending the next 7 to 10 years in a different city, most likely. A different lifestyle. Just think if you were moving. Just think of your job. Your personal job. You know, your boss calls you into your office and you're like, and he says, basically, you have to move. We're moving you. We're moving you from New York to D.C. You got to pick up your bags and go. My girlfriend, actually, her uncle worked for a company, right? They sat him down. They gave him a promotion. He lived in Jersey. He now has to move to California. Picked up his bags. Had to buy a whole new house. Sell this house. You know how stressful that is on somebody? Now, again, he's not making $25, $35 million. Which helps it out. But it's a very life-changing decision. Your whole life. You're used to going down to that corner store, getting the deli. You're used to going to that car wash every day. You're used to go getting that bagel at the same spot every day. Yeah, we're going to go grocery shopping here. Yeah, we're going to go to this mall. Yeah, we're going to go to that movie theater. Yeah, I'm going to get gas at the same location. Now it's all changing. So yes, I understand these players have to, they have to be smart in this. They have to know what they want. But this is hurting baseball. No one else is going to sign. No one else is, I don't think, is getting contract offers. Because if the White Sox miss out on Machado and Harper, well, now what's plan B? Are we going to go spend again? Are we going to hold it back? Keuchel's waiting. Moustakas is waiting. Everybody's waiting. The teams are waiting. the Tampa Bay Rays, for example, aren't going to go sign Mike Moustakas. If the White Sox don't sign Machado, because let's say the White Sox then would get and go out and sign Moustakas. Moustakas' value is going to depend on what Machado gets. Machado gets 7 years, $200 million. Well, Moustakas should get something. 3 years, $60 million. 3 years, $50 million. AJ Pollock, perfect example. He's waiting for Harper. Harper gets 5 years, $180 million. Well, Pollock should get somewhere in the area of 4 years, $70 million. 4 years, $65 million. He doesn't want to sign too low. McCutcheon got an insane deal. 3 years, $50-something million. $52 million. That's insane. 6 years ago, I would have given McCutcheon a 7 year deal worth that much. You know, 7 years, $130 million. Now he's not worth $53 million, $52 million, whatever it was. 3 year deal, okay, but that's a lot of money. And is that really going to be the Philly stupid money answer? McCutcheon? Come on. So we'll see. I hope this clears up soon. One can only hope. It clears up soon. Be a couple days. We'll be back on, guys. We'll be back on probably after the playoffs. So we'll recap that. Again, I had the Rams-Patriots Super Bowl. Hopefully I'm wrong about the Patriots, though. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Until next time. Your sports talk, Taylor on. Goodbye.